Good afternoon. My name is Kelly McDonough, and I am a senior program coordinator with School Health Connection. So kind of as I just mentioned, a lot of the work that I do in general with our program is with schools coordinating comprehensive school wellness efforts. So this afternoon, I am presenting on behalf of our team another session related to the work we're doing, and this session is called Successes and Challenges of Collaborating with Schools and School Food Service Providers, Lessons Learned from the Healthy School Food Collaborative Evaluation. So I have no relationships to disclose. So I'm going to start by talking a little more about the individual partners that have brought us together on this project and have brought us together today before getting a little more into what this partnership has actually included. So as I mentioned, I represent our program called School Health Connection. So we are a New Orleans-based program. We were founded in 2006 by the Louisiana Public Health Institute in partnership with school health service providers. And we do kind of two main things here. We work with schools to develop comprehensive school wellness programs, and we also provide support and technical assistance to school-based health centers in the greater New Orleans area. So School Health Connection is a program of Louisiana Public Health Institute. So Louisiana Public Health Institute, located about 2 miles from where we're sitting right now, is a statewide nonprofit organization that was founded in 1997. And Louisiana Public Health Institute, or LPHI, coordinates and manages public health programs and initiatives in the areas of health systems development and community health improvement. So to kind of give a little more example of kind of the work that we do, we work across a number of different health portfolios, including tobacco control and prevention, HIV/AIDS, maternal and child health, school and adolescent health, health research, etc. And LPHI in general serves as a partner and convener to improve population level health outcomes. So kind of again, just kind of taking the big picture and explaining to you all how we're here today together. So a few presentations already have mentioned our partner Propeller. So Propeller, a force for social innovation, is a New Orleans-based nonprofit that was founded in 2009. It is dedicated to supporting social innovation here in the city, and it incubates early stage ventures to drive social, environmental, and economic impact. So in 2011, Propeller partnered with KIPP New Orleans Schools to launch the Healthy School Food Collaborative. Obviously, that's what we've been talking about so far here today. So to just cover any bases or any questions that perhaps you have at this point, what is the Healthy School Food Collaborative, kind of in summary? So it was created in response to the national obesity epidemic, and it allows schools in South Louisiana to select the food services management company or vendor of their choice with the goal of helping schools to choose healthier food options that are generally more expensive and less affordable to schools and provides high quality nutritional standards for school meals. So through the Healthy School Food Collaborative, participating schools were giving monetary and administrative support to select a food service provider independently of their school district. So this is the autonomy school food service authority that was spoken about in one of the earlier sessions. So the goal of the Healthy School Food Collaborative is to have New Orleans public school children eating healthier, delicious, and affordable school lunches that meet strict nutritional standards. So now that I've kind of outlined who the partners are, looking more at our partnership and what has brought us together to do this work. So Propeller partnered with School Health Connection to evaluate adherence to Healthy School Food Collaborative requirements and student consumption of school food. So the objectives of our partnership and the research study that followed were to assess differences in nutritional content of school lunches across the participating vendors and to also assess student consumption of school meals. So I would like to say, you know, in the work that we do, there's a lot of focus on improving the actual nutritional quality and the standards of the food, but we also really need to look at that other side. You know, it's great if we have really strong standards, but what good does that do if the food is going into the trash every day? So we really need to look at that balance and be able to see that the policy changes that we're making is really going to be translatable to actual student consumption of food and getting them to have that nutrition that's so important to their growth and development. So as has already also been mentioned, but just kind of we really wanted to be clear kind of who we're working with and how it got us here today. We had three food service management companies participate in phase two of our evaluation. So those companies were Sodexo, Revolution Foods, and Chartwells, and we worked very closely with these three companies to make this research study a success. And in a little while, I'll talk more about what this partnership entailed and what we actually requested of our partners. And we had 8 schools that participated in phase 2 of the Healthy School Food Collaboration as well. So we have their logos here. And again, these are 8 schools that are located right here in New Orleans, very close to the within the proximity of where we are now. So Tasneem also explained some of this, but I find it really important that when I speak to a national audience, to again really just kind of make sure that there's some understanding of the New Orleans system or kind of non-system school that we have here, just because I find that it really puts into context the work that we do. So as Tasneem did explain, New Orleans schools are governed by a multitude of operators. So mostly post-Katrina, so post-Hurricane Katrina in 2005, the school system was divided into kind of 2 main systems. And what resulted from that is a system or lack thereof today that is more than 90% charter schools. So that's just really important to consider, and I'll explain it a little more as we go on. But that just kind of explains the layout of what we have. So instead of having kind of one district that you would go to make things happen, we essentially, I think today, if you do the math on it, have 26 different lead educational agencies that are making decisions and have governance over our schools right here in New Orleans. So that being said, when you actually kind of pause to consider what the Healthy School Food Collaborative Evaluation looks like within the context of our school system, there are both opportunities and challenges. So considering the opportunities, when you think about autonomy, the charter schools, they do have a lot of autonomy. They have decision-making power for their small groups that they don't necessarily need to go through a district for. So kind of looking kind of at the last point, what that yields for us is many potential partners. So for example, if we had only one school district and we went to that school district and kind of pitched this project and we were shot down, perhaps that would kind of be the end of the endeavor. But we're fortunate enough that we would have at least 26 potential partners that we would be able to approach to do work like this. That being said, our system, for the pros and cons of it, is at the least very progressive. So we're seeing things in New Orleans that are at the forefront of educational systems throughout the country. So we do have some opportunities to try some things that perhaps aren't being tried elsewhere. And then also, it's something to be considered that in our kind of free market school choice system, schools have an interest in having some type of competitive advantage, so to say. They might not call it as such, but schools actively recruit students every year to attend their schools. So kind of having something that sets, you know, one school above another is something that stands out, and I think schools really are recognizing that in different ways that go beyond the traditional thoughts like academics or extracurriculars, and really looking at those things that relate to health and wellness like school food. All of that being said, there are, of course, some challenges. While autonomy is considered an opportunity, the lack of a central government system also does kind of produce some challenges. Mostly that challenge would kind of be explained as being that you have to do a lot of work, and you have to do the same work again and again and again. So if you're kind of looking, say, for approval, or you want to just kind of make something happen, you can't really go to one place and take care of that one time. You have to do it time and time and time again. So when you think about our 8 schools, we didn't just go to one person to make things happen. We had to do that work 8 times over. Also, that being said, we have to be conscious of the level of change that can occur. Right now, the greatest number of schools underneath kind of one governance umbrella is 6. So what that means is that we also have to be aware of, kind of as someone asked questions about earlier, with the kind of programmatic changes that we hope to kind of inspire from the results that we have, that is something that will also have to be kind of ongoing work, because if you kind of change policy and procedures within one of our kind of mini districts, you will have to do that work multiple times unless you're kind of doing it at a state level. But when we're looking in New Orleans, it certainly keeps us busy. And then also thinking about that, finally, there are competing priorities. And with our charter school system, what that means is that charter schools are often up for charter renewals. So charter renewals can happen on like a 2, 3, or like 5-year basis. So what that means is, in addition to the general academic pressures that schools across the nation feel, there's a particular added degree of kind of academic priority here when schools are worried about their future and able to keep their doors open. So we just have to kind of recognize that in the work that we do, it's really important that when pursuing our school partners, that we can really kind of find that common goal and explain to schools and find that that level where we know that we're working towards a common goal and that what we're trying to accomplish is not taking away from what they're trying to accomplish. So kind of all of that being said, in summary, what that means is that establishing buy-in and support from all of our partners, so being the 3 food service management companies that we worked with and the 8 schools that we worked with, was absolutely essential to the success of the Healthy School Food Collaborative evaluation. So we've obviously outlined the partners, we've talked about our partnerships. So what did this really look like? What did we ask of them during this study period? For our food service management companies, we kind of broke that into 2 asks. When you look at kind of the more operations level, kind of at the company itself outside of the school, when Melanie was speaking about the methodology, they were very cooperative with us during the 40-day data collection period, but also before the period and after it, in sharing with us their production records and nutritional information that allowed us to have that data to compare it with all the other data that we collected. Looking at the food service management companies, but looking more so within the school, so that those on-site staff members, the cafeteria workers, one of the greatest things that they had to do for us was welcome 3 research assistants into their kitchens and cafeterias every day for 40 days. And if you can imagine, I mean, think about maybe the office that you share, or maybe you have your own office, wherever you may work, having 3 people in there every day for 40 days is kind of a big ask. So that's something that we absolutely could not have done this project if they weren't willing to welcome us in and do that. Also, there were times when they may have needed to prep additional meals for our pre-weights. So as Melanie also spoke about in the methodology, each day at the start of the lunch periods, 10 of each item were weighed to calculate pre-weights. So we made every effort to reduce waste, but also to make sure that we weren't asking the cafeteria staff to do more work than they normally would, to kind of use, like, if the food was packaged, we could very quickly give it back. But there were times when perhaps they had to do a little more than they would have done if we weren't present. And then finally, when we look at the schools that we actually spent these 40 days in, when you consider the administration, we had to get approval to, you know, even come in the door. Kind of looking at a more administrative kind of side of things, each school participating had to be able to give us a letter that we could use for the institutional review board to allow us to move forward with this. In addition, they had to allow and be really helpful in coordinating additional data collection strategies like student satisfaction surveys, focus groups, and also at times they had to be willing to kind of alter their disposal procedures. So, if you think of kind of dismissal from the lunch period, perhaps at the end of the lunch period, instead of the students getting up and going to the trash, in order to make sure that we were really collecting those trays, there was one school where they would kind of bring it up to a window and leave their tray, or other schools where they would kind of leave it on the table and our research assistants would pick them up. But just when you think of kind of about your knowledge of schools and how kind of procedural based they can be, this is just something that, like I said, we are very, very thankful for everything that they did and the great partners that they were to make this happen. So all of that being said, ongoing support, participation, and communication from all of our partners was essential to making this happen. So what are our lessons learned? So the takeaways from our pilot phase 1, but really our far expanded phase 2. First, looking at our food service management companies, that it's really important to secure buy-in at all levels. So if you kind of want to have, look at something like this locally wherever you are, possibly on a smaller scale, you want to think about the food service management company. Again, those that are in-house in the school, so your actual cafeteria workers, and then those who are more in the operations department outside of the school. Make sure that all levels of buy-in are had, because if you just talk to the operations people and you show up and the cafeteria staff does not know you're coming, things are not going to go well. Just a fact. Also on that note, establish common goals. Make sure that the partnership is as mutually beneficial as possible. So make sure that your partners are actually getting something out of it. It's just good practice to make sure that you're not doing a lot of asking and not a lot of giving back. Also, you want to identify a point of contact. So make sure that if you have any requests, if you want to share any information, that you know who you're going to go to either in the school or outside. And similarly on your team, make sure that the company or their staff knows who to go to on your team. So if you have a team of 8, make sure that there's one person that they know that's the person that's going to answer my questions and I know how to reach them. And then finally, share that data. Kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier with established common goals. Make sure that you are kind of giving back, in a way that does not compromise your methodology or or whatnot in your procedures, but make sure that they are getting something back for everything that they've given to you. And then also, finally, recognizing the implication of results. It also came up in one of the earlier sessions that, you know, these are companies, and they are, you know, serving lunches to our students, and we need to, you know, recognize that we want the results to come out and be honest and accurate and true, and we do want them to inform decisions, but to always be very conscious of how you're framing those results. And then lastly, just looking at our schools, a lot of these are really similar to the food service management companies. Make sure, again, buy-in at both levels. Make sure the administrators know that you're coming into their schools, but also make sure that those people that you're going to be interacting with on a daily basis know what you're up to. They know, you know, kind of the intentions of it. They have an opportunity to ask any questions. So the teachers that are bringing their students into the cafeteria, you know, whoever's monitoring them, just make sure everyone's kind of in the loop. Similarly, if we look at establishing common goals and sharing data, again, make sure that the schools are going to get something back from all the participation that they're giving us. You know, the end outcome of this is to really make informed decisions, so to be able to share with them so that they can then make decisions in the future that will improve the quality of their school meals and increase student meal consumption. And I think kind of one of the ones I'll highlight last year is, again, adapting to the policies and the procedures. So really always keeping in mind that, you know, there's limited things you can do without compromising your research methodology, but also knowing, for lack of better words, that you really need to kind of go with the flow. You know, that school has its policies, its procedures, it has its school culture, and really learning to work within it so that it's going to be the most peaceful coexisting of a research study that you can achieve. So moving forward with next steps of the collaborative and of the research evaluation that goes with it, future efforts will build community awareness and support, engage and educate parents, increase on-site food service management company employee roles, and disseminate methods and results from phases 1 and 2 of the Healthy School Food Collaborative evaluation. So we are up here, obviously, for one more session, so if you have any questions now, please ask. Otherwise, we can hold them to the end of the session. But thank you.